Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the cross, praise the cross, praise
the cross. Put your hands together. Well, I said put your hands together now. Oh, God, oh, God. Did you go?
Tonight for our weekly Bible study here at Salvation in Jesus Ministry. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise this morning, this afternoon. I'm sorry. I'm still thinking it's early. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you what, God has been so good, and I like to give him glory and praise and thank him for keeping me and giving me the strength that I needed to make it through the day. Amen. And I'm also like to welcome all of you who are welcome, who are listening over Blog Talk Radio tonight. We're going to go in and begin with prayer. And after prayer, we're going to continue on with our praise and worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God. Father God, I just want to give glory to you this afternoon, Lord God. Father God, I want to thank you for keeping me, Father God, leading and guiding. Father God, throughout this day, Lord God, Lord, you have given us everything we needed to bring this day into completion, Father God. And Father God, I just want to thank you right now, Lord God, that we come before your table, Father God, and rest at your feet. And Father God, as we prepare ourselves for our spirit man to be fed with the word of God tonight, Lord God, Father God, I'm asking, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you decrease us in our flesh, Father God, and increase our spirit, Father God. Lord God, open up our ears, Father God, that we may be inclined and in tune to the word. But most of all, Father God, pierce the hearts, Lord God. Let that word fall on our hearts as a seed tonight, Lord God. We just give you glory and honor, Father God. We just want to thank you, Lord God, that we made it thus far today, Lord God. Father God, we just lift up hands of praise and we give thanksgiving unto your name, Father God, for you are truly worthy of our praise, Father God. And God, I just thank you, Lord God, for the replenishing, for the refreshing, Father God, and the restoration that you're going to give us to make it through the rest of this week through your word, Father God. Father God, as the word go forth, Father God, bless the person that's going to bring forth the word tonight, Lord God. Give them the strength that they need, Lord God. Most of all, God, use them, Father God, to do your will, Father God, to say what it is that you want them to say, Father God. Father God, I just thank you. Continue to bless this ministry, Lord God. Continue to bless the Blog Talk Radio, Father God, and everyone that's listening over Blog Talk Radio, Lord God. Father God, continue to bless everyone that's represented in the house tonight, Father God. Lord God, we just give you glory. We give you honor, and we thank you and praise you. And Father God, we pray for all those that are traveling on their way, Father God. going to and fro. Give them traveling grace and mercy, Lord God, tonight. Father God, and it's in your name, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We will continue with our praise.
It's the Prince of Praise, Byron Cage, with Padilla. Lord, come on.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and everything that's within me. Come on. I will bless his name. Is there anybody in this place that is here to bless him? Let me hear you make some noise. Come on. Here we go. Set. Magnify.
Magnify the Lord with me.
Come on. Sing it to him. Sing it.
The sun he has redeemed.
Come on. Set. Clap your hands.
Clap your hands. Rejoice and sing.
Uh-huh. You are the Lord of everything.
You are Lord of everything.
Here we go.
I will bless the Lord.
Sing it to him. Say bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord at all.
Say it again.
I will bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord
at
all
times.
Oh, yeah.
Bless the Lord at all times.
Come on, do the second one. For the Lord our God is great.
For the Lord our God is great.
Come on, say, perfect Lord in all your
ways. Lord, in all your ways.
I like this, say this. God of mercy, Lord of grace.
God of mercy, Lord of grace.
Come on, sing it to me tonight and
Holy One, take it away.
Here we go.
He has
the
greatness for me, for my will.
He has the
has done great things.
He has done great things for me, so
He has done great
things.
He keeps blessing me.
He has done great things for me.
He keeps keeping me.
He has done great things.
Keep the best for me.
He has done great things.
He has done great things.
He has done great things for me.
Yes, he has.
He has done great things for me.
He has done great things.
He has done great things for me.
Yes, he has.
He has done great things for me.
You're bigger than the sun and the stars. You're bigger than the things, oh, that could tear me apart. You're bigger than the universe. You're bigger than the sun and the stars. You're bigger than the things, oh my, oh my. Tear me apart, for I know great in all the earth. For I know great in all the earth. You're bigger. You're bigger than the problems I face. You're bigger than the disasters I've seen. You're bigger, you're full of vividness than what this life may bring. Oh, Lord, you're bigger than the universe. Yes, you are. You're bigger than the sun and the stars. You're bigger than the things.
Anybody that's a problem, we can say you're bigger. what the doctor said. Fool, what will you believe? Fool, what will you believe? It's so long, sinner. God understands and he knows exactly what you're experiencing. But through it all he wants to know is, if you can declare tonight, you're bigger than that. You're bigger than that. You're bigger than that, Jesus. Put it all in your hands. I put it all in your hands. You won't leave me hanging. You won't leave me hanging. He didn't carry you tonight. He didn't lift your burden. He didn't lift your burden. I'm feeling it now. I'm feeling it now. I'm bigger than that. So much bigger than that. I don't care what it looks like. I'm bigger than that. I don't care what the devil says. I'm bigger than that. I'm bigger than that. Anytime, because I know the devil, I know he's an opposer, so he's not going to tell me the truth. So anytime the devil tells me I'm not something, I always say I am that. Anytime the devil tells me I am something, I always say I'm not that. I know that God is bigger. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So much bigger. I know. Great enough. For I know, great enough.
My God, my God, my God, he's bigger. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's something how that song talk about. He's greater than all the earth. Because tonight we're going to be talking about Matthew 18, 1 through 4. And it's talking about who is greater, who is the greatest. Amen. And that's where we're coming from tonight. Matthew chapter 18. 1 through 4. Who is the greatest? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She said he's bigger than the universe. Amen. Bigger. So much bigger than cancer. So much bigger in our situation. He is bigger. When Satan say you can't, God say we can. Because he's the I am. Amen. We're going to start reading in Matthew's. We're going to thank God for bringing us here tonight. We continue to ask him to decrease us and increase his word into us. Yes. Amen. Yes. And I begin verse 1 in Matthew 18. And it says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child upon him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to read 5 and put that in there. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, receive it, me. Amen. Who is the greatest? Amen. In this passage, he's going to teach us about humility, the instructions about humility. Amen. In verse 1, he said, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He asked a question. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, the song just told it to you. Amen. The song just told it to you. That's a coincidence, huh? Humility is basically free of pride, not being so arrogant. Amen. Grounded in the characteristics of God. God's characteristic is meekness. Amen. Being low to self. Not wanting to put up a fight among others and not humble yourself and seek the face of God first. Amen. So in this in chapter 18, it's teaching us about humility. And like was said in one, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Two, saying Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Amen. He said he set the little child, a child, in the midst of them. Amen. He said, and verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children. Amen. So we're going to go into depths and we're going to talk about convert. Amen. One of the most touching things that you're going to see during this time in Jesus' life was when he used a little child to teach his disciples. That's what he said. He used a child to teach his disciples. And you're reading that, if you go more in depth and read 18:1-14, you'll understand exactly more about what the child did. Amen. But that was one of the most touching and exciting part about reading this scripture, was that God used a child to teach disciples. Amen. He used them to teach his disciples, the ones that he called to be disciples. He used a child to teach them. Amen. But my thing is, when I was reading it, how is it that God used a child to teach grown folks? And I'm saying grown folks, but in the Bible it says disciples. Because I'm trying to switch it into today. You know what I'm saying? God used a child to teach grown folks his word. Amen. And he used this child because this child humbled himself. In order for us to be true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we got to first be converted. We got to be converted. Are you saying to yourself, well, converted, well, you know, I done gave myself to the Lord, I done got saved, and you know, I'm a new creature in life. Are you? Or are you just a lip sync? And like we taught last Wednesday, lip service. Amen. To be converted is to change something into a form from something transformed from something and become new. In other words, you're an old creature and you have to be converted into something new in order to be able to do the work of the Lord. We cannot do the work of the Lord in sin. We cannot do the work of the Lord and we're not saved. Amen. So in order to be a disciple, a true disciple of Jesus Christ, we have to be converted. Once you are converted, then a change happens. Amen? You by no means can enter into the kingdom of heaven if you're not converted. You have to be converted from an old man to a new man. We cannot be the same and enter into the kingdom of heaven. So be mindful when you say, I'm a Christian, oh, I'm saved, oh, I love the Lord, I'll do whatever the Lord say. Will you really do that? Because you have to be converted. You have to be changed into his image. We cannot be true disciples of Jesus Christ full of mess, you know, not humble. And it goes back to the fruits of the Spirit. You have to have that meekness in you. Something, you know, things that upset you is not going to upset you the way you're not going to respond to those things like you used to respond. You're not going to go and have a fit on something that you know you wrong about. And you know you wrong about. You're not going to go and say, you know what, I'm just going to act chaotic with it. You're not going to do that. Being a Christian and a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you've been converted. So you're gonna handle that situation totally different. You're not going to respond so quick. You're going to listen first, and you're going to wait on the Lord to tell you, okay, it's time to respond. You're not going to go and respond quickly, because then that's when the pride set in and the arrogancy sets in. So you got to be mindful when you say and when you call yourself a child of God. Have you been converted? A little child is being used in this scripture. And I was like, well, why the Lord use a little child to tell disciples, you know, to really talk to them and explain to them, you know, his word? Because that child was more humble than those disciples. And that's something that we, as children of God, we want to minister the word, or we want to tell the word of God to people, but we don't humble ourselves. We have to learn to humble ourselves, not respond in such a chaotic way. Amen. And you could look at a person and you see a person, you'd be like, man, they done changed. They don't respond to situations like they used to respond. That's because they're humble. They have been changed. They have been converted. Amen? And that's what we have to do. We have to allow God to convert us to be more like him. Amen? You cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven and you're not converted. We cannot have our sins blotted out. We can't do that. Amen? And then want to call ourselves children of God. Acts 3:19 say, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Amen. That's what it say. It say, repent ye therefore. Don't hold on to that pride and that arrogancy and don't want to repent for it. Repent and be converted. Let God turn your old ways into new ways. Amen. That you and them old ways is your sin. Blot it out. Amen. And let God refresh you. Let the presence of God refresh you. That's how one is converted. Amen. Times of refreshing from the Lord. We will not enjoy that. We will not enjoy times of refreshing from the Lord if we don't repent. And we hear that, you know, we hear this from different churches and different ministers, and they'll tell you, you know, you need to repent. You need to repent. That's a serious thing. In order to be converted, in order to be turned around from your sin, in order to be changed into a new creature, you have to be converted. Our life has to be converted. We can't live our life in the same situation and then say that we love the Lord or we love one another when we really don't, because we're one way now and then later on we're something else. We cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven like that. We can't. We have to be converted. It's something you must allow to be done to you. And that's, you have to allow God to convert you. It begins when we, in faith, we submit to the working of the Lord. That's how it begins. In faith, submit to work to the working of God. Amen. It says, and I apologize because I'm a little under the weather. 3 says, and verily I say unto you, except ye be converted. Now, I told you what converted mean, right? Mean to be changed, to turn around. Amen. And to become as little children, humble, to be humble. Amen. Ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's instruction. So you can't say the word of God is not giving it, telling you how is not giving you instructions on humility. That's why I was telling you this Bible is the instructions on how to live. It is the manual. It's like going on a job. God is giving you, in order for to be a true disciple, he's giving you a manual to read and understand. That is his holy Bible. Amen. So he's telling us that the only way that we can either enter into the kingdom of heaven, we have to first be converted. We have to be saved. And then our life has to convert into the image of God. That's the only way that we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So we sometimes figure, I could enter into the kingdom of heaven. All I got to do is do some good stuff. I'm going to come to church. I'm a usher when I'm supposed to usher. I'm going to sing when I'm supposed to sing. You know, and that's it. That's it. I'm going to give God one day out of this week. Only one day I'm going to give him. Because you know during the week, you'll say, I pray, I read my Bible. But if you really do a self-examination, how many times do you read your Bible in the course of 7 days? Self-examination. Or do you wait till you come to church on Wednesdays, Tuesdays, Fridays, whenever you have Bible study, Sundays, whenever you have church? Some of them don't come to prayer, so I ain't going to say that. But when you do come to prayer, how often do you give God the time he deserves? Have you been converted? You can say you saved, but have you been converted? See, you can walk around all day long and say, yeah, I'm saved. You got people that's not saved that you go and you go witness, and they'll tell you right then and there, you say, are you saved? They'll say, oh, yeah, I'm saved. Okay, so if you are saved like you say you are, have you been converted? Do you give your time to the Lord? Or do you sit and you mope all day? Or do you sit and complain all day? See, because when one convert their life into the hand, I'm going to say, and I say economy, you know, economy meaning, you know, money, but I don't mean money. I mean the economy of God. I mean, in his source. You know what I'm saying? How often, you know, how can you say that you've been converted into the image of God when you don't do the things that he wants you to do? It's like you got to pull teeth to make people do stuff. Or you got to give them something in order to do something. Okay, I'm going to give you $10 if you come Sunday. Or I'm going to give you $20 if you come Sunday. So if I got to, if I have to give you $20 or give you $10 to come and just be a part of God's economy, something is wrong. You have not been converted. You have the title of being saved, but you have not been transformed. Because one that is transformed into the image of Christ, they're going to do whatever they got to do to serve him, to please him, to walk like him, and talk like him. So that's how you can see edification in the people. You can see it. Good talkers, but they don't do. And every time you hear or you talk, it's like it's the same old situation. Okay, well, if you're running into the same situation, don't you think you need to seek the face of God and ask God what it is I need to do to change it? Because it might be that you're not humbling yourself to even hear from him to make a change. Because we want to do it all ourselves. We want to do everything ourselves. And every time we do it ourselves, we always hit a wall. We put so much work and so much emphasis on the outside. But when you look in, God's still there. But you don't even want to receive him. So God say, okay, I'm going to break you down. God will take the very thing you love the most from you to get your attention. And in this chapter, he took a child to teach disciples. Why? Because the disciples was not converted. They wasn't humble enough for God to even use them to even witness or even to tell anybody about him. So he used a child that was so humble to get his word out. We have so many people in the body of the church that have so many gifts and will not use them. Will not use them. As soon as they hit a brick wall, oh, Lord, why I'm going through this? Oh, Lord, why this happened to me? Well, what you done for the Lord? You've been running. So God said, I'm going to slow you down. So I can get your attention. Because you got so much pride and you're so arrogant about you because you think it's all about you. So I'm going to have to step in and I'm going to have to show you what I mean. So that's why we go through the things that we go through, because God wants to slow us down. And it's a shame he got to do that to us for us to say, okay, let me humble myself. Let me seek the face of God and see what God really wants me to do. Because I know I used to ask God that question. I used to say, man, God, what you want me to do? I know I'm here for a reason. I know I'm here to do something, but what I'm here to do? And when you sit back and you look and you revamp your life and you say, you know, God, help me. We got to ask for help. We don't want to ask for help because we have so much pride. To the point that we don't feel that God will do what he say he's going to do. Let me share something with you. I'm going to share something with you. It says, many people have the wrong idea about God, the Bible, and humility. Being humble. Amen. They think being humble means to grovel in front of others and think we're no good and others are better. That's not what the Bible says. God says when you are humble, you are free from pride and arrogancy. You know that in your flesh, you are inadequate, yet you also know who you are in Christ. Amen? You don't need to defend yourself when you understand what the Bible says about humility. For you know who you are in Christ. You can be a peacemaker without needing to fight for your rights, or you can walk humbly in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in your own strength. Amen? So if you find yourself walking in anything that I just said that's not according to the word of God, you need to be converted. We need to be converted. We cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven if we are not converted. In order for us to submit to do the will of God, we got to first submit to working for him. We have to submit. How do we submit to work for the Lord? We got to be converted. Just like he used the little children here in Matthew 18. He used the little children to teach the disciple. They had to be humble. They had to be humble. And remember what I said. You can walk humble in the power of the Holy Spirit, but not in your own strength. See, that's the problem. We want to walk in humbleness, but we want to do it in our own strength. Your strength don't have nothing to do with it. Your strength has no power. The blood only works through what? Power of God. You have no power when you're trying to do it on your own. We cannot do nothing without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. So if God can use a child to teach the disciples his manual because they were humble, then don't you think he can use you? But the question is, do you and are you and will you, are you ready to be converted? We got to be ready to be converted into the image of Jesus Christ in order to do his work. See, once you do that, you're not going to have no problem. Somebody come up to you and ask you if you're saved, you ain't going to say, oh, I can't do it right now because I ain't walking right. You ain't going to say that. You ain't going to say that. Not right now. I can't get saved right now. I got some things that I'm doing. And I fear God. No, you don't fear God like that. Fearing God is when you say, I surrender unto the things that I'm doing that's not of Jesus Christ. And I want to be converted into a new creature. Then once you get saved, you're going to know that it's genuine. And God is going to start taking away. Some he take away right then and there. Some he takes away gradually, but he takes it away. The reason why you have to go through a gradual form is because you hadn't been converted. You hadn't been converted. I learned that. You can't say God took away the drinking and then you still drank it. You hadn't been converted. Amen. You can't go and say, I don't have an attitude today, but then you're still showing you have an attitude. You hadn't been converted. If somebody come up to you and tell you something, you smacking and pucking your lips, you ain't converted. Because you're getting mad about the situation. Then you don't want to talk to the person no more. Pass by the person, don't want to speak to them because God didn't give them something to give to you. We got to let go of pride. We got to let go of arrogancy. In order for God to do a work in us, if you want God to use you like he used these children in chapter 18, you got to be humble. And we all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. God will do mighty things in us if we just submit to him. And you hear people say, oh, being a Christian, it's hard to be a Christian. I can't be no Christian because you can't do this, you can't do that. Yes, you could do some things. You could still live. You still can live. I'm not telling you you can't live. I'm not telling you go out there and go do the sinful things. I'm not telling you do that. I'm telling you you still can live. You still can do the work of God and live. God doesn't want us to kill, drown ourselves in sorrow. He doesn't want us to drown ourselves in mourning. He say all these things was going to happen, but he also say joy is going to come in the morning. He said that in his manual. It's going to come. But do you believe that that joy is going to come? Or are you going to sit around and mope and boo-hoo and cry and I can't do this, I can't do that? Man, you better trust the Almighty. God is an awesome God. We might not have everything we want. He's going to make sure we have what we need. But we got to learn to be humble. We have to learn to have patience. Because God is not going to move when we want him to move. He's going to move when he feels is needed to move. And that's what we have to learn. You're wondering why you're going through what you're going through? You're going through the same thing you was going through last year. Take it back a little further. You're going through the same thing you was going through 2 years ago. Take it back a little further. You're going through the same thing you was going through 4 years ago. The problem ain't the situation. The problem is you. You don't want to be submissive to God. You don't want to follow what God is telling you to follow. You want to live your life any kind of way. But they say what you do in the dark, it comes to the light. It might not surface right then and there, but it's going to surface. And we wonder why we're in the same situation we was in 3, 4, 5 years ago. I wonder why my finances is not getting where they need to get. Guess why? You don't know how to manage it. You don't know how to manage your money. God give you the money, but you don't know how to manage it. So then you back in the same situation you was in 2, 3, 4 years ago. Well, I wonder why my children are lining up. Because they see what you do. If you handle somebody any kind of way and they standing right there, they going to feel they can do the same thing. What happened to punch them in their mouth? Excuse my expression. Because I remember back in the days, my grandmother and great-grandmother, when we sat around the elders talking, they wouldn't tell you nothing. They'll spit tobacco in your eye. And that stuff burned. The parents ain't teaching the children. The children teaching the parents. And that's why they can't be used in the word of God, in the body of Christ, because the rebellion and the disobedience. Because we too afraid to tell our children, you can't do this. You wrong for what you're doing. You're not going to discipline, you're not going to disrespect me in front of this person and that person. God gave us a manual. Each and every one of us has to be converted. Either you're going to be converted to enter into the kingdom of heaven, or you're not going to be converted and you're going to end up in hell. It's either one or the other. Just like the word of God said, you cannot serve two. You cannot serve the Lord and you can't serve man. God is heaven, mammon is hell. You can't serve both of them. Either you're going to serve one or the other. Stop trying so hard to get yourself right and just surrender. And just say, Lord, I don't want to live like this no more. I need you to convert me into your image. I need you to change me. We are the Lord's children. We are his children. And he's given us a choice. But he sends people to you to tell you of his word. But it's if you want to receive it. You're either going to receive it or you're not going to receive it. When you don't receive it, that's when the pride steps in. That's when arrogancy steps in. So you can't be humble Humility is not going to step in because you don't want it. So if you don't want it, I'm not going to keep forcing it on you. The word of God say, plant the seed and water it. He said he's going to do the increase.
That's right.
I'm going to give you the Lord. I'm going to tell you what thus said the Lord. I'm going to sprinkle a little scripture on it, and I'm going to leave it alone. Because he said he is going to increase. So it's up to the individual to say, I'm ready to surrender my life unto the Lord and let him have his way. Amen. God can change any one of us, but we got to want to be changed. He is going to send the people to come to us and tell us about him. But it's how we receive it. Sometimes we'll stand up there and somebody will tell us something about us. Like I say, we'll either get mad or we'll get upset, get arrogant, don't want to talk to the person no more. But we got to learn one thing. When God sends somebody to tell you about yourself, he loves you. And he wants you to change. But see, when you get to the point where you don't want to change and you want, I'm going to just do it my way, you always hit that brick wall. Every time. His words say we are going to go through trials. We're going to go through tribulation. If he could use a donkey, he could use anybody. But we got to be willing. His words say in verse 3, it say, and I say, verily say unto you, except ye be converted, you have to be changed. You have to be turned around. 360 degrees, you got to be turned from the old man to a new man. Amen. And become as little children, humble. Little children are humble. Ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You will not get into the kingdom.
Come on.
You won't. Folks say, whosoever therefore shall humble himself. Amen. What did you say?
Humble.
Himself as this little child. The same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He said the same. In Matthew 18 and 4, his disciples had been arguing over who was the greatest. That's what they was arguing about. Who would be the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus used a child to illustrate the sort of humility one must have. That's what he's saying. Okay? Paul later used Jesus as an example of humility. And you can read that in Philippians 2, 3 and 5. You can read that in. Amen? Those who submit to the working of God in their lives will produce this kind of humility necessary for salvation. For salvation. Amen. Five reasons humility is essential. You know why it's essential? For the enter into the kingdom. That's one reason. The second reason is greatness in the kingdom. Greatness of the Lord in the kingdom. The third one is to prevent offenses. The fourth one is to carry on proper discipline in the church. In the church. And the last one is forgiving one another. There's your checklist right there. There's your checklist. That's how you enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's five reasons that humility is essential to one's life. That's the five reasons right there. And it's something how forgiving one another was the last one. And that's something we all have a problem with, forgiving one another. We have a problem with that. But we want to quickly say we're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And one of these checks off one of we in there some way. That's bad. And it didn't lead the church out. He didn't lead the church out. I said, carrying on proper discipline in the church. proper discipline in the church. Those who submit to the working of God in their lives will produce this kind of humility necessary for salvation. That's why some people can't get the Holy Spirit. I'm praying for the Holy Spirit to dwell in me. I want the Holy Spirit. I want to be able to talk to the Lord. I want to be able to do what she do. I want some of what she got. She didn't just get it by sitting there. She was converted. He was converted into the image of the Lord. This is not about us. This has nothing to do with us. But it does have something to do with the choices that we make. Because you only have two choices that you can make. Only two. To be great in God's kingdom, one must be a servant. You got to be a servant. You got to do some laboring. You have to do some laboring. I don't know how to stress this. That's how you be great in his kingdom. You got to be a servant. You have to be a servant. Amen? God is a good God. But we got to be servants of his. We got to labor in the vineyard. We got to do the work. And we got to get rid of them stumbling blocks. We have some stumbling blocks that causes us to pull away from Christ. And we want to blame our stumbling blocks on everybody around us. No, you blame yourself for your stumbling block. You made the choice. You didn't listen to the Lord. You decided I'm going to go ahead on and do this without the guidance of the Lord. I'm going to do it my way. And then when we find ourselves doing it our way, then the stumbling blocks, they get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. One little problem is created into another problem. Then another problem creates to another problem. And then all of a sudden you got this big old problem that you can't fix. All you have to do is humble yourself and let God speak to you. And when you hear people say, oh, something told me don't do that. Something told me don't do that. No, that wasn't something. It's something because you don't know that that's the Lord talking to you. But when the God is speaking to you, and he speaks to us, he tells you, but we turn a deaf ear to it. We know something telling us that, but we turn a deaf ear to it. Something say don't do that. Something say don't play that lottery. Because that might be the last $20 you got. And you go buy you $20 worth of lottery tickets. That $20 could have fed you, could have put a little gas in your car, could have did something for the kids at school, but you took it and bought you a lottery ticket. And like I told my sister, I said, I can't win the lottery if I don't play it. And I don't play it. I don't find myself to go there and play it, because you know what? My last little $20, go spend it on the lottery and don't win. Guess what? No gas, no food, no nothing. Cause I done went and gave it to the lotto people. We have to live according to the word of God. We can't go around bashing one another and causing harm to people. We have to love on one another and we have to let one another know what thus said the Lord. And live by. It's not hard to live by. When it's hard to live by is when you don't want to live by it. It's not hard to do. It's not hard for it to manifest. It's because you don't want to do it. You're trying to do it your way. And your way is never the right way. Especially when God is not in it. When God is not in the midst of it, you'll never do it the right way. You'll always do it a way that is not sufficient to God's way, and then you have more problems after it, more problems and more problems. Everybody go through something. God say that you're going to go through trials and you're going to go through tribulation. He said you're going to mourn when one dies. He said you're going to cry when somebody is born. But he said in the midst of it, he want us to rejoice and count it all joy. So if you sit and let the devil play with your mind, he going to get you right where he wants you. Especially if you know you ain't where you need to be in Christ. He going to get your soul. This is about soul winning. God is telling you that he used a child that was humbled enough to tell the disciples who is the greatest. Who is the greatest? If you know that Jesus Christ and him crucified is the greatest out of all of everything that go on in your life, you shouldn't be moping. You shouldn't be complaining. You shouldn't be doubting. Yeah, some days you're going to feel like that, but when you feel like that, open up the instructions and watch the joy that comes through. I'm going to give you a little testimony. My husband bought me a vehicle for my birthday, and I've been going through so much with this vehicle. My husband is no longer here, but everything that he taught me, I see it manifesting. My vehicle came out the shop running good, but something minor was wrong with it. Good thing I listen to vehicles. And I tell people this. Always listen to your vehicle, because a vehicle could tell you if something wrong with it. I got in the van. No music on, no nothing. I haven't even put my CDs back in it. I didn't take it to go get it washed or nothing. Got there that Sunday. I got a speeding ticket. I went mad about it. You know why? That was my fault. Because I was speeding. You see what I'm saying? You can't get mad at something or someone when you the problem. So I can't get mad because I got that ticket. All I know is that I got to pay it. I never got a ticket in my life. But this, I have to pay it. And I'm going to do that. That's owning up to your responsibilities. Not getting mad. Not getting upset. Not going up there and say, okay, I ain't going to never pay it and all this other stuff. No, uh-uh. You will speed. You take care of it. That was the first situation. Second situation. I'm riding around in the van. The van about to catch on fire. Why is it about to catch on fire? Because the bearings and the brake pads is bad. The man touched it. I had to drive it all the way to Hammond today. The man touched it. He said, baby, he said, you could have blown up in here. I said, this ain't nothing but an attack from the devil. I called my sister. I said, you know what? This ain't nothing but an attack. I said, I'm going to drive this van to Hammond, and I'm going to let them do what they need to do. I can't do nothing else. I brought the van there. They told me to take them for a ride. Now, I'm humble the whole time. I ain't fuss. I ain't cuss. I ain't make no faces. I just sat there and been humble, being humble. They had other people coming in there, coming to buy a car. I could have got up and told people, don't get no car from over there. I didn't do that. I sat down. And I let God talk to me while I was sitting. The man came from the back. He said, her bearings are gone. He said, you know what, ma'am? We messed that up. He said, when we put the transmission back in, we didn't put the bearings in right. So the bearings was wearing down the brakes, which was making the brakes get hot to catch on fire. He said, do you have a ride to get back home? I said, no, sir. I drove all the way here, humble myself, no music, no nothing, just talking to the Lord. I said, God, somebody, this is going to get fixed. I know it's going to get fixed. The man say, I'm going to get my secretary to bring you home. He said, your car will be ready tomorrow. He said, I'm going to pay for everything. I'm going to pay for the bearing because we messed it up. He said, but I ain't supposed to pay for the brakes. But you're going to get your brand new pair of brakes. You see that? Now, just think if I'd have went up there fussing, cussing, you know how we do it, upset, that all this stuff done went on from Sunday up until now. You see what I'm saying? Just think if I'd have acted out of flesh, if the flesh would have acted up, guess what would have happened? The man didn't have to do it if he didn't want to. He could have said, well, that's your problem. You go fix it. Guess how much it would have cost me? This not including the brakes. This only including the bearings. $846. That's what it was going to cost me to get it fixed. But God had a better plan. And that's what I'm trying to get us to see. We got to stop faulting everybody for what our mistakes, what we made. And we got to learn to start listening and hearing from God. Let God speak to your heart. Let him tell you what needs to be done. If he used little children because these disciples didn't know who the greatest was, guess what? When I walked in there, I walked in there saying, guess what? My God is greater than anything. And when I walked up out of that, they brought me home. He said, your van will be ready tomorrow. Find your ride to get up here to come get it. If you don't have a ride, call me and I'll send my secretary to come pick you up. That's favor. In spite of everything that's going on, that's favor. See, that's what happens when you trust God. God say he got you. He ain't lip service that. He say he got you. But do you believe that he got you? See, that's the problem. We don't believe that God has our back because we want to do it ourselves. And every time we do it ourselves, we hit that wall. We steady hitting that wall. Who is the greatest? Jesus died on the cross for each and every one of us. He didn't have no special one that he wanted to die for. He died for each and every one. And if he did that for you and me, we can go and just say, Lord, I want to change. I surrender my life unto you right now, this day. I know what I did yesterday. I know what I did 5 minutes ago wasn't godly. Lord, I need you to take over. And see, once you let him take over and he start having control of your life, things that make you mad, ain't going to make you mad like talking about. It's not going to make you mad. And it's not going to make you sad. You're going to sit back and say, you know what? I got to go through this. This is something I have to go through. I have to go through this. And I'm going to go through it with a smile, with my head up high, still rejoicing and counting it all joy. Amen? No matter what your situation is, we got to learn to humble ourselves. And learn to say, God, speak to my heart. Have your way. Show me what I'm supposed to be doing. Convert me into your image. Convert me. I'm not the person. I don't want to be the person that I used to be. I want to be a new creature. There's only one way you could become a new creature. You got to be saved. You got to give your life to him. I don't care what nobody say. God is a good God. He is the greatest of all. He created the heavens. He created the earth. He created everything. And when he created it, he said, it is so. He said, it is so. Go back to Genesis and read what he said. Everything he created, he said, it is so at the end. That means God got you. But you got to believe that he have you. And you got to walk in it. And when you feel Satan trying to come in and steal, kill, and destroy, you say, devil, get back. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I belongs to him, not to you. And he's going to change that. Amen? But you have to believe it. We're going to close. That's children of God. That's being a child of God. God say, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And believe you me, he will not forsake you. You might go through a trial and a tribulation, but I guarantee at the end it's going to be a testimony. You're going to be able to go to somebody and tell them, look what the Lord has done. Look what he has done. He changed my mind. He changed my body. Look what he done. Amen. Don't never let anybody tell you that God don't love you. God does love you. But he also wants you to make a choice to follow him. He wants you to make a choice to follow him. He wants you to turn your life around and be transformed into his image. To live like he wants you to live. To walk like he wants you to walk. To talk like he wants you to talk. That's how your light is going to shine. Among others. Amen. Amen. The church of the doors is always open. But you got to be willing to come. And say, Lord, have your way. Thank him for what he's done. He giving you, he wakes us up every day. There are some that don't wake up. But the thing about it, those that don't wake up, are they saved? Or are they hell bound? That's the question. If you close your eyes today, right now, this instant, this moment, will your soul rest in heaven? Or will it rest in hell? That's the question. Let God convert you. Let him turn you around into his image. We don't want to live like this world. Stop being distracted by all the things that's going on in this world and say, let me sit down and have a relationship with my baby. My baby going to heaven, but I got a new baby. Amen. And I'm going to hold on to it till I can't hold on to it, till he called me home. Yeah, I have some bad days and I have some wonderful days. But I'm not about to let Satan take nothing what God has put in me. Not. I'm not going to miss a beat unless God say it's time for me to go. He say open the door's going to be open. He say serve him, I'm going to serve him. He say teach it, I'm going to teach it. But I'm going to count it all joy and rejoice when I'm doing it. God is an awesome God. He loves us. But he wants us to be converted into his image. He wants us to give our life to him solely. Solely. Because the air that you breathe is the air that he's giving. He could take it anytime. Any moment. Any hour. Any day. He can take it. And we got to stop looking and looking like we so holy than thou because we go to church, but we so nasty and hateful. And don't love. We say we love the Lord. But you won't even speak to the person on side of you. Or you'll talk about them under your breath. Or sit at your house and discuss them. But then come to church and praising the Lord and thanking God. Did you repent? Acts 3 and 19. Did you repent? God is good. He is good. If you've done anything tonight that you know that you were wrong for what you did, the altar is open. You ask God to forgive you. If you've done something against somebody, you better go make it right and ask them to forgive you. If you exploit them in front of people, then you better go in front of them people and ask them to forgive you. We have too much pride. And we're full of arrogancy. That's not children of God. God is love. He's peace. He's long-suffering. He's meekness. That's some big old shoes to fill, to walk in God's shoes. But he said, all you got to do is let me convert you. Just let me convert you. And everything I got, I will give it to you. All I need you to do is receive it and surrender your life unto me. Amen. Amen. We close it. Father God, we just thank you tonight. We thank you for the word that you've given us, Lord God. And Father, we ask that you use us mightily, Lord God. Father, where we have fell short, Lord, we ask you right now, Lord God, to convert us, Lord God, to be more like you. Change our heart, Lord God. Change our mindset, Lord God. Change the way we think of others, Lord God. Father, we ask that you use us mightily, Lord. Father, we just love you and we praise your mighty name. And Father, as long as I have breath, I continue to serve you until you come back for me. Father, I love you and I thank you. Satan has no dominion over nobody, Lord God, in this place. Father, I pray for each and every person that's listening over Blog Talk Radio, that there be a change in their heart, Lord God. Not just lip service, Lord, but a true and genuine change in their heart. Lord, let your power manifest through the airways, Lord. Let your power manifest in this place tonight. I pray for each and every person in the ministry tonight, Lord God, that you protect them on their way home, Lord God. And Lord, protect them tonight when they go to sleep, Lord God. Send your angels, Lord, to protect them. And Lord, if there be anyone that does not know you, Lord God, I ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you deal with their heart, Lord God, that they be converted into your image in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we just love you and we praise your mighty name. Amen. Amen.